The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Betty.
Typically, breakups are tough for everyone involved, and if you're the one being broken up with, you can either walk away with dignity and thankful for the experience, or
that's so cute.
Or you can walk
burn away, it down.
You can walk away with full of rage. Yes, and that's the case for these people who anonymously admitted what they did to their ex after a breakup was completely petty. But what's done is done. And what I've learned from this list, too, is I would say 90% of them were admittances from women.
Oh,
not
really?
Men.
Oh.
So I think women are way more vengeful than men.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, there's no question.
So here are a few of the worst ones. One woman stuffed a raw fish into the curtain rods of her ex's windows and never told him.
Ah, yeah, because that just stinks up your whole house and you can't, like, find it.
Yeah. Another admitted to cutting the tips off all her ex's pant pockets.
That one's evil. That one's next level
evil. I would never think of that.
No, because then all of a sudden you're losing change everywhere you go, or eventually that little snippet gets wider and you lose your keys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty great, right?
No, pretty not good.
What are you talking about?
And then finally, I think this one is the most evil. One girl went online and requested multiple visits from various religious groups, like Jehovah's Witnesses.
So funny.
That's so smart.
Asked them to come to her ex's house, and in the request form, she wrote, quote, "Even if I'm resistant in person,
keep trying.
Oh my goodness, that is
devious.
Next level. That's funny just to do to people that you even like.
No.
As a joke, like that'd be so great.
No.
And you know what does great for the Mormon, like say a Mormon, okay, because Mormons go door to door a lot. You know how happy they would be that somebody wants them and isn't going to slam the door in their face? Like, it works on both levels.
No, that's a bad idea. Please don't do that to anyone. Walk away with dignity. And thankfulness. Don't be vengeful.
What's your address?
Asking for a friend.
I'm just kind of curious.
I know where she lives. I can get it. Uplifting WayFM. This is The Wally Show. And if you've got a past, you're not alone. You know, we have a lot of people that listen here, myself included, have done bad things in this world, you know?
What?
And I know, crazy, right? But it's a great example of how Jesus redeems us and can put us on a new path, and nobody is beyond the scope of God's love. And I got this really cool email from this guy that listens to the show, and he did a little prison time, and he said, "My first cellmate was a gang leader who was doing life without parole for first-degree murder. I was terrified because I was new in this prison, and I had no choice. You know, we were somewhat cordial. We kept to ourselves. I was constantly reading my study Bible that I had gotten for free from WayFM." Oh, that's kind of
cool.
A few days go by, and he asked me why I was reading my Bible. I shared with him some of my testimony and about how God had delivered me from suicide, and we had a long conversation about how the past is irrelevant and how God feels about you today. God loves you now just as he did when he died for you and even before you were born. Says, I eventually asked him if he'd like to give his life to Christ. That night in the cell, I led him through the prayer to make Christ the Lord of his life. The next day, I was moved to a different cell, but I believe I was in there for just the right amount of time. Like Daniel, I was so scared to be thrown in the lion's den, but God prevented me from being harmed and instead gave us both peace in the cell.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
What a testimony.
I know, right? And so this is a great example, though, of how even being nervous about sharing your faith but following through with it does something for the person you're sharing your faith with, and it does something for you too. And that's a big thing. He's like, God kept me safe, you know, inside of this.
Well, and it also shows too that his actions must have said something to his cellmate.
Right.
You know, like, it's not just your words, but it's your actions too. And that must have been something so different for his cellmate that he's like, man, I want what you have.
Yeah, prison is a rough place, man. Like, and so the fact that God gets behind the walls there, and, you know, a Bible from WayFM made a difference in two people's lives. Like, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we mail out free Bibles all the time, you know, and that's the reason for it. It's, you never know where that Bible's going to travel, and that was the case here, and it led to, you know, this guy getting saved. So here's what I want to talk about with you, though. When was the last time, or when was a time, that you were really nervous about sharing your faith, but you followed through with it? It could have been coworkers, could have been family members even, you know? Because there is this weird thing that we get really like, oh, what are they going to think about us? Or what if I do it wrong? And, you know, and it really, it's not about whether you do it right or wrong. It's about sharing your story and showing the person that you genuinely care about them. Like, if you lead from that place, that it's not getting a salvation on a record somewhere, but it's like, hey, I love you and I care about you. You know, Penn and Teller, like Penn from Penn and Teller is great. He's a staunch atheist. And the guy gave him a Bible and it landed with him. And it didn't change his heart that night, but it landed with him. And he said, how much do you have to hate somebody if you believe in God and heaven and hell? How much do you have to hate somebody to not share the gospel with them? Hmm. To not proselytize? And that's from an atheist.
Yeah.
And he's dead on.
Yeah, he is.
You know, and so I'm curious for you, what is that story of a time you were nervous about sharing your faith but glad you did? 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. We will take your story right now. So we're curious about your story and what it looks like for you.
My mom was not saved, and for years and years, I kind of danced around telling her. For me, it was, how do I tell my mom she's going to hell? And she wound up in a nursing home. She was very, very ill. And we lived in Virginia. They lived in Pittsburgh. And so I drove up one weekend by myself, and I walked in a room. She was sleeping. And she woke up, says, how long you been here? We exchanged pleasantries. I says, okay, Mom, here's the deal. I've told you, I've talked to you over the years about accepting Christ and never really got to putting the question to you. I says, you know you're dying. And she says, yes, I do. I says, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? And she did. I prayed with her. 2 weeks later, she died.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
God's timing is perfect.
There is something that happens when people are dying that it changes your perspective on things, and it maybe opens you to other things that you had resisted your entire life. And sometimes it takes somebody just like you being intentional and saying, all right, let's talk about this. Well, John, I appreciate you being on the show with us and sharing your story today. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. God bless you. You're doing great work and keep it up.
So have you ever, you know, been nervous about sharing your faith with somebody, but you did it anyway?
All right. So I'm a police officer for a fairly large agency. We have over 1,000 officers. We serve a community of about 1 million people.
Oh, wow.
And one night years ago, I was on late watch, and I had arrested this guy. I was on the way down to jail with him. We got to talking, and, you know, the Holy Spirit just came over to me, and I just stopped right before we pulled into jail, and I just started praying for him, praying for his situation. Pray that he finds Jesus. And, you know, it was nerve-wracking at the time, but it sticks with me to this day. I parted ways with him. I don't even know his name. I don't know why I took him to jail, but, you know, that just stuck with me all these years now.
That's cool, though. I mean, you have a tough job, dude. I could not do what you do, and I love the fact that you're interjecting your faith into a place that is very, very difficult. When you were talking to this guy, did he go like, I have a prayer request that these doors of this car will be unlocked?
Yeah. So there's in-car video of it somewhere, but, you know, we stopped half a block away from jail, and I just stopped and just prayed with him right there in the car. So.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. Well, dude, I appreciate what you do because it's not an easy job, and you're one of the good ones, so thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for all you all do.
Tammy, have you ever been in that place?
I sure have. Never been one to really invite people to church or talk about my faith, even though it's the biggest part of my life. And I met a new friend at the gym. We just became instant friends. My husband and her husband became friends. So we've been friends for like 5 years. She had not been to church in 25 years. And so one day I said, why don't you just come to church with me and check my church out? And she's like, well, okay. That was 2 years ago in March. She has been coming every service unless she's on vacation. She never misses church. Serving now. Her husband had never been to church in his life. He's 53 years old. And he is now coming.
Oh, wow. See, that's crazy. And it's all from simply asking somebody to go to church with you. Like, that's amazing. But does it ever get awkward when your friend that you invited to church now goes more than you? You know?
And she's like, why aren't you at church, Tammy?
You know, I do feel guilty when I want to take a day off and I know she's going to be there. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tammy, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And we kind of got off on this conversation about sharing your faith after a letter I got from a guy who was explaining he was in prison and sharing his faith with a guy doing life, you know, for murder. And the guy came to Christ. And, you know, it can be daunting to share your faith sometimes with people just in your own personal life. And so I wanted to share with you a conversation I had, parts of it, with Greg Kokel. He's an author, a teacher, an apologist, and he has a book called Street Smarts, and it's about sharing your faith in an effective way to do that, because we're supposed to share our faith, and we want to be good at it, and sometimes that's what keeps us from doing it. We're like, oh, I don't know what to do. I can't do this. And so I asked him, is there one secret to sharing your faith? And if so, what would that be?
The key here is asking questions, because questions are friendly. I mean, think for a moment how interactions often go between Christians and non-Christians. There's a certain tenseness there, because either the Christian is challenging the non-Christian or the non-Christian is challenging the Christian.
Well, do you think that just the terminology alone is difficult when we say we want to win people to Christ? Because what does that do? That means I've got to get my point across to win this debate, in essence.
Yes, I think you're right. That's a good point. If we want to avoid, gee, you're wrong and I'm right. No, you're wrong and I'm right, or anything like that. All right. Questions are the way to do it.
It seems so simple, but questions do open up conversation, and you don't have to have all the answers. Like, he was telling me, like, it's okay to say, hey, I don't know. It's a great question. Let me do some digging and get back to you, because that keeps the conversation going at a later time. And it shows that you, instead of making something up that, like, you can have holes all in it,
right,
like, go and search out the actual thing, because if you truly care about somebody, it's not about winning the debate. It's about showing them and giving them truth, you mm-hmm. know, and it's okay to not know everything. And so I've always wondered, like, why, if salvation is so important for people, why would God leave parts of it up to us? Because we're flawed, we're ill-equipped, and sometimes lazy in our faith. But I really like Greg's perspective on what our responsibility is inside of all of this.
Our side of equation is, it's our job to engage graciously, thoughtfully, truthfully, and persuasively. I mean, that's kind of what it amounts to. Then we let the chips fall. It's God's job to win people to Christ. I mean, that's so clear in Scripture, but a lot of times we think it falls more on us.
Yeah, because I've thought about the people that I didn't witness to and what happens and did I miss my opportunity, but I do believe that God is working through multiple people,
yes,
on multiple levels.
Because he doesn't need us.
Right.
He doesn't need us. We like to think that he does, but he doesn't. And he can work through anything.
And we get the opportunity. It's a blessing for us when we do mm-hmm. this as well, too. So one important part of, I was curious, like, so what are good questions to ask to help facilitate that conversation, if questions are important? And what would it look like, say, if somebody says, well, I don't believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is flawed. Like, how do you question that?
When you say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm not sure. You said the Bible's been changed. Okay. What do you mean it's been changed? Well, it's been altered. Okay. Why do you think what you just said is true? Because what people are doing many times, not always, but many times, is they're repeating things they've heard other people say, but they aren't asked, well, explain in what way this took place, you think. Those two steps alone, you're a student and you're paying attention. And guess who's doing most of the talking? Not you. The other person is. There's no pressure on you.
And when you ask questions, you can better address the thing that they might be feeling underneath the surface. That, mm-hmm. like you said, they've just repeated something. And when you get down to, well, why do you believe that? Sometimes they don't even know.
Right, right.
And so that's a great way. So I think if you take nothing away from this conversation about sharing your faith, one, I think it really is important to show that you're not trying to win somebody to something, but you're showing genuine love and care for them and then asking questions. I think if you do those two things, you're probably going to be more successful and you feel more equipped in sharing your faith.
It's easy to let the fear of the unknown keep us from doing something that is good for us, but going back to school might not be quite what you think.
Yeah, one of my biggest fears going back to school was I'd have to watch a ton of online lectures, and I kind of have a problem staying awake during stuff like that, but it was so different than I had imagined and way better.
Yeah, for sure. I thought I was going to have to take a bunch of tests, which I am not a fan of. But instead, I was able to write papers, which for me was way better.
Plus, you have the flexibility to work in school around your work and life schedule. Another big fear I had is, what if I don't understand something? What do I do?
Yeah, CCU, they foster community with your classmates, and they are a great resource. And Colorado Christian University has very responsive online professors who are there to help you, so you are never alone as an online student at CCU.
Learn more about how you can pursue your passion and find your calling with Colorado Christian University at ccu.edu. Colorado Christian University is a nonprofit impact partner committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. You have a chance to win a prize right now, a little game we like to call Beat Betty's Brain for Me. This is, I like to add little extra words to the end of it.
Yeah, so funny.
So now the way this works is you're going to be taking on Betty, who Betty is just innately intelligent herself.
Really?
Well, yes. If you don't say really with a question mark, that undermines it.
Well,
you have 2 degrees from Colorado Christian University.
I do. So I think I'm pretty smart-ish.
You got past math at Colorado Christian University. You took a higher math in your college degree than I had in mine.
Really?
Yeah, you did. Honest, truthful. And you actually.
Loser.
Yeah. So humble.
Dummy.
Yeah. All right, so the way it works is we're going to ask you a set of questions and ask Betty Rock the same 5 set of questions. She's going to step out of the room where she cannot hear. We're going to bring her back in. If you can get more questions right than Betty, if you can, in essence, beat Betty's brain, you will win a prize. And that's just it. It's just that simple. The questions come from a variety of random things. And so sometimes that lines up with what you know. And, you know, it's just general knowledge type stuff.
So you can't give us categories?
No, not really, because this is like fast answer, because you only have 30 seconds to make your answers too. So
okay.
The pressure already hit Betty right there.
Yeah.
I just heard her brain lock up.
Well, maybe though you're fast on your feet and time doesn't matter to you, and you can and you just know random little things.
Yep.
Then you're the person we're looking for.
855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. If you've always been dying to beat Betty's brain, today's your day.
Excuse me.
No, it's the name of the game. Just beat
so
it.
So much aggression when you say it.
855-33-WAY-FM. Uplifting Way FM. This is The Wally Show. Cindy, thank you for joining us here for Beat Betty's Brain.
Okay.
Are you excited about this?
I'm very nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous at all.
All right, I'm ready.
And here's why, because Betty's brain, the minute there's a clock on it, her brain locks up, okay? And so the way it works is I have 5 general knowledge type questions. Betty Rock's going to step out of the room where she cannot hear them, and we're going to ask you them. We'll write down your answers, and then if you get more right than Betty Rock, you will win a prize. So if you beat Betty's brain here, you're going to win. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Betty Rock, will you step out, please? All right, I'm out. Pull the door behind you. No cheating. Yes, I don't trust her very much. I'm going to give it a second for her to get down the hall. Because she'll do anything for a win, unlike you, Cindy. So here we go, Cindy. First question. In which Dickens novel does the character Fezziwig appear?
Say his name again.
Fezziwig?
Fezziwig.
Fezziwig. Mm. Which Christmas Carol, which Dickens novel does it show up in?
A Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol. That's right. Okay, nicely done. Where did singer Tony Bennett leave his heart?
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Nice. There you go. Slice or season? What does a chef do with a mandolin?
Slice.
Okay, you are on fire today. What is the smallest country in the world?
Miramar,
okay. And what was the first soft drink to be taken into space?
Well, if it wasn't, then they should have been fined for this. Coca-Cola.
Yes, there you go. Well, I got to tell you, you did fantastic. Even with the hint, don't tell Betty about that one. You got 4 out of 5 right. Nicely done.
It's not Miramar. What is it?
It's Vatican City.
Oh, my gosh, I was going to.
Oh, nuts. But I don't think Betty's going to get that one. So let me motion to Gavin to bring Betty in. Gavin, bring Betty in. Tell her it's good.
That was a good motion.
Thank you. Yeah, I yelled and motioned. Okay, here she comes. Shh, too quiet, quiet. We were just talking about you.
How well did she do?
Not perfect, but
good.
Close
okay.
to it.
Oh, no.
Okay, so here we go. Lady Rock, you get the same set of questions. In which Dickens novel does the character Fezziwig appear?
Fezziwig?
Yeah, which Dickens novel?
A Christmas Story.
Close.
No?
Where did singer Tony Bennett leave his heart?
In San Francisco.
Okay. Slice or season, what does a chef do with a mandolin?
Slice.
Slice, okay. What is the smallest country in the world?
Oh, Iceland.
Iceland, okay. And what was the first drink to be taken into space?
Tang.
Oh, wow. Great guess. That makes the most sense. It's not a soft drink, though. That was such a great guess. Okay, well, let's go over some answers here. Christmas Carol was answer number one.
What did I say?
Christmas Story. You were so close.
That's the movie.
So, Cindy got that right.
Dumb it.
You both got right. Where does Tony Bennett leave his heart? San Francisco. Nicely
yep.
done. With a mandolin, you do slice. So you
yes.
both got that right. Congratulations. Vatican City is the smallest country in the world.
Who
it's considered a
that?
Country. Well, she missed
Cindy
it.
Cindy got it?
But
oh.
she said that was what she was going to say.
Sure, sure, sure.
And
sure,
finally, Coca-Cola was the first soft drink taken into space.
Aww.
So Cindy wins it. She only missed one. You're the winner today. You successfully
Boo.
Beat Betty's brain.
Boo.
Thank you, Betty. Thank you for having an off
That's
day.
Right. I gave you the win.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
If you love the music on Way FM,
this is probably like my favorite.
But have heard a new song and want to know more, here's what's new on Way.
With What's New on Way, we like to focus on a new song hitting the charts and talk about the story behind it. And this week, we have the band Consumed by Fire. They had a big hit with their last single, First Things First.
First things first, I seek your will, not my own.
I love this song, and so this next one better be good.
Okay. But their newest single called Walk With Jesus, I think, is an even better hit.
Ooh. Oh, I'm going to love the way he says to love. I thought something about aces in there. I'm like, what is aces? Card playing's a sin. What's going on with this Consumed by Fire band?
Oh, my goodness.
That Betty is now endorsing. Sin up!
Wow. Well, okay. The guys from the band wrote this song as a modern take on Joshua 24:15. And Wally, do you mind reciting that verse for me?
Oh, that I'm going to walk with Jesus in
Joshua 24:15.
Thou shalt
yes.
walk
yes.
with Jesus.
Yeah, which
Wait,
version
no,
would you like
that's
it
Old
in?
Testament.
The New Living Translation. Go ahead.
You know what? I like it better with the country accent, and I can't really do that. The Bible always sounds better with a country accent. Why don't you go ahead and knock that bad boy out for us?
Choose today whom you will serve, but as for me and my family,
we will serve the Lord.
Whoa. We will serve
There we
the
go.
Lord.
I just need a head start.
Yeah, of course you did.
Head
so the guys,
start.
they wrote this song as a modern take on that verse. If we claim to be Christian, we are telling others that we have chosen to follow Jesus, but that path gets pretty narrow when things get hard, like things not working out the way we thought they should, or others making fun or writing us off due to our faith. And if you're walking through a similar situation, the guys from Consumed by Fire, they hope you'll find strength by listening to their newest song, and that it'll give you the confidence you need to keep going to walk towards Jesus.
All right, well, there you go. Let's hear it then. It is Consumed by Fire, and it's Walk with Jesus, and that's what's on Way.
So many people trying to fill a void inside, so many questions, asking how, asking why. I might not have all the answers, but I've tasted.
Things you didn't know you needed to know today. It's News-ish with Gavin.
One of my favorite things about volunteering with my church's youth group is that I've got this ear to the ground on modern slang words, because kids do tend to create slang and they tend to make it trendy. And yep. I very much recently learned what, you know, no cap means.
Yeah, and then you bring that here and then Betty makes fun of you.
I know. Well, and that's something that I've been doing since I got to this job.
I know, it's pretty chewy.
There's what?
What?
Nicely done.
Thank you.
But moving on, I did find this list of just the world's or America's favorite slang words and then kind of like where they come from.
Oh, I love the etymology of words.
So, and there's a couple of our least favorite as well. So we'll go through a couple of those. Our most loved slang word overall comes from Texas, and it's the word conniption.
Oh, which is, yeah. Don't have a conniption.
Okay. As the... Like, can you guys explain conniption?
It's like having a full-blown cum part.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The fit or rage or tantrum. You're one for conniption.
Oh, I have so many conniptions. I have daily conniptions. I have hourly conniptions.
You do.
That's true.
People also loved the word wicked from Boston.
Wicked. It's wicked odd. Wicked awesome.
Which is funny because, like, I think
that was
about,
years ago.
That's an old one,
yeah,
too.
It is.
So it's kind of cool that's still.
That was
around.
When I was in college. That was a big thing. And then I can't believe it's come back around. And I think it's because of those Ben Affleck commercials that he was doing like a few years ago.
Oh,
ah,
like
you parked the car.
John Krasinski.
Or John Krasinski. And, yeah, you're going to park. And Amy Poehler.
Hey, could be in a smarty pants.
Yeah, could be in a smarty pants. Yeah,
love those. And then our favorite slang word from New York, I didn't know this came from New York, was cringe.
Oh, really?
It's funny, though, because I don't think, I love that, but I actually do. I use the word cringe or cringy.
Yeah, that's
all
cringy.
The time.
Yeah.
California has out of pocket or out of pocket.
Out of pocket.
But then I will go down to least favorite, along with this, the worst slang word from California, and this hurts my heart, but the least favorite slang word from California is clutch.
Oh, yes! And that's a big one for you.
That has been a word that has been near and dear to my heart for 5+ years.
You brought
now.
That like first week here, and you said it, and Betty Rock just pounced on you like
you're a grown man, and you shouldn't be using the term clutch.
I've gotten used to it. And I kind of like it. I kind of like it now.
I'm almost 30 now. It's still gonna stay in there. There was only one that I think was wrong. It's funny because I was looking through old videos that we had done, and there's one day when I used the phrase thummies. And then I use the word Sammy instead of sandwich.
Yeah.
Those are ones where you can kick me out if
your
I start.
Your dad, your military dad,
Air Force,
who listens to the show,
Lieutenant Colonel.
Yeah, he texted me and he went, look, if you want to put him over your knee and spank him on this one, you should do that.
I say yes, do that.
No,
yes, for sure.
No,
I support it.
I'm a grown man.
I'm a grown man. That's clutch.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And every week we have Pastor Chad come in and share with us some of the stuff going on the old prayer wall there. And it's a place where you can post prayer requests and people can pray for you. You can pray for other people. And then if you post a prayer request, you can get a notification when someone prays for you. And that's a real cool part of this. And so, Chad, what's going on with some of the stuff you've come across?
Well, I was praying just on the wall this morning. And as I was looking at a few of the requests, I just start noticing that every once in a while there's a trend going on. And one of the trends was a lady wrote in and says, prayers for my family. My husband's going through a bad time of alcoholism. We have a beautiful family, and it's really sad seeing him go through this. And then another person wrote in anonymously saying, please pray for my husband to have the willpower to drink less or not at all.
Addiction is something that when it's somebody else's, like, you can't control it and you feel so powerless in there. And I know that the person in the middle of addiction, most of the times they feel powerless themselves and they regret like heck what they do afterwards, you know, but in the minute that addiction is so strong and some of the, your love, your attention, you know, your affection, your, you know, intention, all of that sometimes doesn't matter. It's not enough. You
I know? Think we think too that there's certain addictions that aren't for people in the church, and that's not really true.
Sure.
I think even the Apostle Paul had warned us that the temptations in your life are no different than what anybody experiences, and God is faithful to come near to those. So struggles are struggles, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. And sometimes we try to hide from talking about them, but really we need to do like these are, who are coming to prayer, asking for their community to surround them, and just acknowledge that people struggle.
Oh yeah. You hear this all the time. Like, so all of a sudden they'll be like, so-and-so has been a deacon at our church for 25 years and they're free of alcohol. You're like, what? Like, when did that happen? I had no idea. It's a lot of times it's that hidden thing, mm-hmm. and it brings shame, you know? And so here's what I would love to do, okay? I understand, because I know it's very prevalent and I know it's very destructive for people, and I know it can feel really hopeless, especially if you're the person that's not the alcoholic and you're just being drugged through this time and time and time again, and I'll change and next time no, and this time rehab will work, and all of those things. I know you're probably frustrated and you feel like it's never going to end. So here's what I'd like to do. Maybe you've been through this already and you're on the other side of it. I'd love for you to share your story of getting on that other side so that you maybe give hope to somebody else to stay in it a little bit longer and to keep loving a little bit more, to keep praying a little bit more, you know, for their person that is struggling through this. And that's why we share our stories, because sometimes your story is the thing that lands with somebody and it's what they needed to hear today to keep going. And so maybe your advice inside of this would be great for somebody. So 855-33-WAY-FM. You've lived through that addiction with somebody and you're on the other side of it now. What would you say to encourage somebody who's in the middle of it? 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now. What advice would you give, and what helped you guys get through it?
Well, I honestly have tears in my eyes right now because I personally have pulled through addiction and alcoholism myself. But I'm also currently going through a divorce because my husband is struggling with addiction himself. And the biggest thing that I can say is, if you lean on God, just lean on Him with like every fiber of your being. And know that what you're dealing with, if you're dealing with addiction, you're surrounded by demons and the devil. That is all it is. And He wants to see you fail, but you can pull out, you can get help. People will help you. People will pray. People will care. And you can completely change your life around. Personally, living through alcoholism, I don't recognize the person that I was before.
Nicole, you said something just so poignant that maybe we don't always understand, is that also alcoholism, it overcomes you in such a way that it really is a sickness. And the scripture does lead us. James tells us to pray and offer prayers of faith to heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And that we're leaning into God, because you don't know who that person is, and you do need the healing from God.
You have to make the choice to do it, but God will pull you out. He will get His hands in your mess. He will get dirty for you. He will step into your darkness. He did it for me.
Yeah, see, I know people that have said, you know, I prayed and God delivered me instantly. Yeah. Not my story, you know, and like, I understand that and I do believe it.
Yeah.
But then a lot of times too, I think the deliverance is, you know, what the Bible also talks about, He won't tempt you beyond what you're able, you know, and like you, with every temptation, there's a way out.
Yeah.
You just have to take it. But sometimes we choose not to take it.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here in a shame spiral today from eating my entire McGriddle. I was going to do half. I had the way out, and I didn't take it. I ate the whole thing.
Well, at least you're not hungry.
Yes, but, thank you. Cole, have you been through a situation like that, and why are you on the other side, or what advice would you give to somebody who isn't there yet?
So I have struggled with alcoholism my entire life, but it really took that plunge when I lost my mom to cancer about 15 years ago. And my spouse has gone through it. He's also in recovery with substantial time. I've been over 30 plus inpatient rehabs over the past 15 years. Yeah, and I was the most severe. I literally gave up. I just said, okay, God, that's it. I'm done. I can't battle this anymore. I can't fight this anymore. And I just fell to my knees. I've been sober now 6 months, and 6 months ago on the 19th, I said, that's it. I'm done. I can't anymore. And I don't know what to do. I don't ever know how to explain it to anyone. He just takes you, lifts you, and carries you through when you are so broken. You have nothing left.
So first of all, congratulations on 6 months. Not easy to do, especially when you said you've been through this for years and 30 stints in rehab. Why is this different this time? Because I know you have family and friends that are probably like, here we go again, you know. So why do you think it's different this time?
So I had put my husband, he had 14 years of just hardcore diehard recovery, and I put him on that pedestal. I put him as my God, and he relapsed over the summer. And when that happened, my whole world crumbled, and I haven't had a drink since, because instead of him being my God, I turned to God.
Well, there you go. It sounds like you've got a good handle on this, and I wish you nothing but the best, because you see how good it feels in this moment, and you know, hey, this is like, this is how life should be, and you can just day after day, sometimes hour after hour, you can keep it and maintain it.
It's 5 minutes by 5 minutes for
I get it.
You know, people like me. I'm telling you, I was prayed for, I work a Christian 12-step, and those prayers that everybody prayed for me over the years, just don't stop. Don't give up on this person. Just keep praying.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your story, because I guarantee you there's somebody right now that's about to give up on somebody, and maybe hearing you goes, you know what? I'm in it today again, you know, because it, sadly, it's a team sport, alcoholism, you know, it doesn't just
Absolutely.
Affect one person, and everybody has to be on that same team and, you know, helping you recover. So I really appreciate you, Cole, being on the show with us today. Thank you.
I love you guys. Thank you so much.
And maybe you're that person that's praying for somebody, but you're like, hey, I need some help here too. Check out the prayer wall, because I guarantee you'll see things that resonate with you, and then you'll be encouraged as well when people pray for you in the middle of your struggle. So if you just text the word pray to 91979, we will gladly send you a link.
I came here in a time machine that you invented.
Great Scott.
Now I need your help to get back.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. It's Friday, which means it is Flashback Friday. So we're in our time machine with Steve. He is calling the shots today. He's piloting us back to yesteryear and a song. So Steve, real quick, first of all, before we get going, have you ever had to stop and ask for directions?
Well, more often than I want to admit to, yes.
Well, Steve's no longer the pilot. I don't believe in asking for directions. I just believe in figuring it out.
And we get lost a lot.
Yeah. Oh, man. That time we were in, what, 1974? Forever. Oh, my goodness. I didn't think we were ever going to see the current year again. So, all right, Steve, your job is to tell us then what song you want to go back in time to musically.
The song that I am just really wanting to hear is Indescribable by Chris Tomlin.
Ooh, that is a classic and a good one. What year, Lady Rock?
A classic, because it's all the way back from 2004.
Wow.
2004 was the year that Motorola released their iconic Razr phone. When it first came out, they were asking $500 to own it. Okay?
Really?
Now you can go on eBay and get one for $15. Things have changed.
Things have changed. But the music is constant and the message is timeless. So why'd you want to hear Indescribable there, Steve?
For me, I had a very, very close friend who was not a Christian. He and I were backpacking, laying out in the middle of the woods, staring at the sky. And it was during this time that Indescribable was on the radio play a lot. And as we were staring at the sky and looking at the stars, I said, do you know that every star is named by God? And he's like, no, I didn't know that. And so that opened the opportunity there. We played the song, we listened to the lyrics, and not immediately, but within a few years, he said that was part of his faith journey when he ultimately became a Christian, was just considering the awesomeness of God and all of that creation.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man. Chris Tomlin used to do a thing, it's called the Indescribable Tour, with Louis Giglio, and they talked about the vastness of space. And if you zoom all the way in, as far as we can see, it looks like on the telescope there's like a cross there. It's just, it is one of the best descriptions of how big the world and the universe is, and why God coming to give his life for us is so humbling and beautiful. So, man, I love it. It's a great song, and we're going to go all the way back to 2004, Indescribable by Chris Tomlin for Steve on Flashback Friday.
Thanks. Appreciate that. To the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty.
From the colors of... Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM. If it's trending, streaming, or starring, Betty Rock's got it on The Rock Report.
Oprah Winfrey, she's been open about her battle with weight loss, which has made her super relatable to everyone who battles with the same. And one weight loss solution that works for many, including Oprah, is Weight Watchers. Wally, I know you use Weight Watchers.
I did. I lost like 18 pounds on it. And then I used my own diet plan after that and found all 18 pounds again. Pretty great. It does work. It worked for my wife, too. She lost a bunch of weight on it.
Yeah.
You got to be committed to it. And then you have to stay in it, because once you get to your target weight, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, Oprah was so in love with the Weight Watchers program that the board asked her to join them back in 2015. And since then, she's been their main spokesperson. But that's all changing now, and Oprah is stepping away after she admitted in December that she's been using Ozempic, a drug that can help with weight loss.
See, because that totally goes counter to their narrative about eating healthy and lifestyle and stuff. And I thought at one point in time they were almost endorsing it, like, through her and like, yeah, you could do this. Maybe they've stepped away from that.
Yeah,
then.
I guess so. But since her admittance, the Weight Watchers company has seen a fall in their stock prices, which is never good.
But Ozempic has gone up.
Yeah. There are no hard feelings, though. Oprah will continue to be a public advocate for the Weight Watchers company. And being a stockholder herself, she's donating her Weight Watchers stock worth currently $18 million to the National Museum of African American History and Culture.
Okay.
So she's getting rid of it before it gets even lower.
Right. While it can do some good right now before it tanks.
She's like, sell.
That's good that she's donating it. I get that. I'm really on the fence on the Ozempic because I know how frustrating it is to lose weight. And like for me taking that, I think it would be a mistake. Because for me, I mean, I'm not morbidly obese. I'm like 10 pounds, and it's just a matter of willpower. Like, I'm just being dumb. Like, when I don't do it, said the guy who just had his McGriddle and Coke. Nuts, Betty, you're the devil. I didn't want this today. You looked at me today, and you're like, you look like you wanted breakfast. And so
that's every morning.
Yeah, I know, that's true. But like, so for me, it's not a thing. I shouldn't.
Yeah.
But I do understand where other people come into. You need that head start when you're 40, 50 pounds overweight, and that's a hard thing to lose. And so I get it. I don't judge it.
Yeah, I think I have a friend that deals with diabetes, and it is a diabetes drug.
Yeah, that's how it started.
And I think when people are using it for weight loss, it makes it harder for the people that have the diabetes be able to get the medicine.
What I am curious about, though, is if there's an increased demand, you also have an increased supply. So will it, at some point in time, if a lot of people are taking it for weight loss, will it then also increase the supply and also then drive down the cost? Because right now, this is the kick of it. If you're looking into this, a lot of times you can get 3 months for like crazy low price, like through your insurance or whatever. But then after that, like your insurance doesn't cover it for a lot of people. And so for weight loss. And so you go from this 3 months of this is great. What, I only paid $4 for this? This is amazing. And then it runs up to like 600 or more a month, 300 a month.
That's a lot.
I've heard different numbers between 3 and 1,000 a month. And so like now you're in it and you don't want it to come back, and so now they've got you.
Now
you know?
You need the willpower.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, again, it's a decision for everybody, you know, individually, and so I'm not going to judge it, but, Oprah's, it's working for her. You know?
She likes bread.
Yeah, she does, and not afraid of needles, so it works out perfectly. All right, that's going to do it for your Rock Report. Thank you, Lady Rock.
Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that Bourbon Street steak with the Oreo shake and some whipped cream on the top two.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. That's Walker Hayes, Fancy Like. We actually had Walker Hayes on years ago. He has an interesting story about coming to faith and this guy, Craig, who did something nice for him and his family and ended up leading him to Christ. Just a really cool story of redemption there. But, like, Applebee's, he's really known for this Applebee's song, and Applebee's has cashed in on this with him, too. And this all kind of started from TikTok.
I just wanted to tell you that if you wanted to see that video, just text the word Walker to 91979, and you can see that. That's Walker to 91979.
Totally worth checking out. Applebee's, I guess around Valentine's Day, started selling a date night pass for $200, which gave you $30 off of your next 52 visits for the year. So you'd need to go at least 7 times to break even, but it could actually work out in your favor. You know, you'd save a little bit of money. Plus, you're going to Applebee's, man. Come on.
It's fancy.
If that's considered fancy to you,
Like, sometimes you got to go to the big city to get to hit an Applebee's. It's not like hitting a Dollar General. You hit those multiple times before you get to a freeway. But with the Applebee's, come on now. That's big city living. And so I do want to talk about this. If that's like a date night, you know, because Betty Rock just seemed very skeptical of this. Okay, guy shows up, pulls up in his truck.
Ford F-150.
Ford, yeah, okay, Ford F-150. You're going to get an insight into Betty's heart here, okay? if you got a Chevy, keep going.
Well, wait. I don't know.
Wait, come back! But it's a tiny little Chevy truck.
Oh, yeah, keep going.
Keep going, okay.
Keep going.
So, Ford F-150, you pull up there, and you honk twice. Honk, honk! Get her to come out and get
He's
in the car
even
herself.
Coming to the door?
No, Rock.
Is he revving his engine?
Yeah, like he's impatient.
Oh. Uh-oh.
He wants to get to the Applebee's.
I don't know about
he
that.
Has come to the door, and he has his boots are shined.
Oh, nice!
And,
nice touch.
Yeah, and he his flannel is not pressed, but it's not too wrinkly.
That's all right.
And then he picks you up at the door, walks you to his car, and he says, "Here, little lady, your chariot awaits." Okay, and you put your little foot on the running board, and you slide up into the passenger side seat there, and then he fires her up, and he goes, "You know what,
ma'am,
I'm taking you to the nicest place I know.
Yeah,
a place where you fit in, a place that will treat you like a queen.
Is that a good thing?
Uh-oh.
We are going to Applebee's. Are you in or out?
You know." The flannel, does he have scruff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. He's got a 6 o'clock shadow.
10 o'clock shadow.
I can look through a lot for that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm up for it, sure.
Okay, Applebee's, so Applebee's would be a date night for you. You'd be good with that.
Yeah, sure, I'm fine.
Yeah, any place, actually.
Yeah. Are we going to McDonald's?
Drive through, fine. That's great. Whatever. Let's do this.
Food is food.
So, I am curious, though. What for you is a good date night? Like, what's been a really good date that, like, you went on, you know, with someone that you like weren't married to, or just even date night as a married couple, you know, it's important to have those. And so what is like a really good creative date night you've done? Cause sometimes you get into ruts with this stuff and you don't think about it or you don't put in the effort. And so somebody giving you an idea right now could be a really good idea. So 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. I'd love to get your ideas on this, your thoughts on what a great date night that you've done is. 855-33-WAY-FM. What's a good one for you, Sierra?
Oh, they're so important. My husband and I started doing date night every Monday night now. And this week I gave him a whole bunch of note cards that had different things that I thought would be fun, like what kind of food would we eat and where would we go? So I had like picnic in the park, eating tacos, or pizza and, you know, back of the truck just hanging out like Applebee's, right? Or a different restaurant or whatever. And so I sent him a text message with these different note cards and I said, pick one letter and one number and that's where we're eating and that's where we're going. And so we ended up having tacos in the park.
That's cute.
That is a really good idea.
But if he's made you mad, Sierra, all you got to do is be like, oh, you chose to take me to a lobster and steak place.
Yeah, exactly.
And for me to get the most expensive thing.
I can guarantee McDonald's was not on the list of cards.
There you go. Probably a good idea. So, Rochelle, what is your idea for this?
My husband works third shift, and I work, of course, regular hours. So we have date days where we take time out during the day and have lunch together.
Oh, that's good, too, because, I mean, he's coming home third shift, so he's already probably a little tired. Does he come home, take a nap for a few hours, and then, you know, you guys do date lunch?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. So he's able to refresh and everything like that. And as he prepares for work, you know, whatever, is we just go out somewhere close, you know, so we can go and have a date and still have time together.
I am sure that where you go doesn't matter at all to you. It's just the fact that he's still tired because that means he loves you. Like, he didn't get a full 8 hours of sleep. He got a couple winks and then he's right back in it. Proving to you that he loves you.
Yes, Michael Smith is the best.
Well, Rochelle, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Thank you so much.
So what is something that you and your spouse do that's fun for date night?
What my husband and I want to do is set a budget, like $20, and go to a thrift store and buy each other an outfit. And then based on the outfit we buy one another, that is a date night idea that we do. So it could be something where you can find like maybe a super fun formal dress for really cheap. And then we go out on a formal little date, have dinner, whatever. Or maybe I find him some dorky shorts and a fanny pack and a polo and we go pickleballing. So just doing something
hey,
fun like that.
Wait a minute, I play pickleball. That's a great idea and dangerous because like he's just finding like sports shorts and cleats and it's like, we're going to a game, you know,
yes,
and we're getting
true.
Hot dogs,
that's
lady.
True. That's true. Yes, that is totally fair.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online for supporting what we do.